Great. This is David Soper with Radio Entrepreneurs. We are live from the Brewster Park building, high atop downtown Plymouth. And today I'm talking to entrepreneurs Denise Noble from the HR Engineers Company. Today we're going to cover a wide variety of exciting new topics and talk about a little bit about some election results this past November. And no, it's not about Donald Trump, but something else locally that was passed in Massachusetts. Denise, it's David Soper. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, David. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I work in human resource consulting. I've founded my own company 5 years ago, the HR Engineers. And we cater to smaller companies, typically those with 50 or fewer employees. And we concentrate on human resources, policies, and procedures. And I come from a background of accounting, payroll, and HR.
Oh, okay, great. So you've been in this for a while now. What incited you to decide that there was a service that needed to be done out there with HR, the HR engineers? What got you motivated?
Actually, it was a coworker. I was working on a contract for EMC, and I knew that that was going to be coming to an end. And this coworker was actually her idea of something she wanted to do when she retired. So since she knew I was going to be going, on my own, she nudged me to try it.
So this is a second act. This is wonderful. Yeah. That's great. So Denise, tell us a little bit about what's going on today and the challenges of the new information age, where entrepreneurship seems to be live and well. I would say, from an HR standpoint, things are a lot more fragmented than they were when I first came into the workforce, and policies and procedures are starting to reflect a different workplace.
Yeah, there's a lot happening out there, and one of the things that we find is sometimes the employment laws that get the most publicity are bigger issues, and sometimes people think they're already passed because they keep hearing about them,
right.
But they may not be passed, or they might not apply to large employers. And some of the smaller things that do apply don't get the publicity and kind of get swept.
Give us an example of some of those.
Sure. One of the big things that was debated was the what people are calling the overtime law, which had to do with not having people kept on salary if they were low wage earners. That actually has been postponed. The other big issue that a lot of people hear about is something called FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act. Mm-hmm. And I've actually seen examples where someone will tell their employer that they can take this time off because it's covered by the FMLA. And, the busy employer, small company without their own HR, says, yeah, I've heard about this. He must be right. And, says, okay, fine. You can take this time off and we'll hold your position open for you. Well, the thing is that doesn't apply unless they have 50 employees or more. But on the other hand, one of the smaller things that came in almost 2 years ago now was the Paternity Act. It was decided in Massachusetts that men are entitled to paternity leave on the same basis that women are entitled to maternity leave. And that affects companies with only 8 employees or more. And it is just, that didn't get publicity, and most people don't know that.
Is that nationwide?
No, that's just Massachusetts. Yeah.
So each state has their own say on how this works?
Yes.
For the Male Leave Act,
well,
or the Pregnancy Act? It's complicated.
Yeah, California, of course, had paternity leave for quite a number of
100
years.
100 years ago, right? Because they're a leader in all this stuff. Of course they did. Vermont, too.
But what happens with HR law is that there's federal laws on almost everything. And then the states have their own places that they can make laws. and whatever law gives the employee the best advantage is the law that you're supposed to follow. For example, federal minimum wage, I believe, is still at $7.75
right.
an hour, but Massachusetts is at $11 an hour. So if somebody is working in Massachusetts, they're getting $11 an hour. There are maybe about 10 or 12 states that don't have their own minimum wage, and so the federal law would come in those states.
Interesting. So I would like to talk a little bit more about, because it is a confusing topic, and it is in the news quite a bit, is Massachusetts just legalized marijuana. And I know from my background of being a public official in a small town that the town does have some power of enacting where it can go, where, you know, these marijuana facilities can be. Could you tell us a little bit about how that's impacted the workplace and what employees think is right and what employers think is right, or the definition thereof of passing this law?
Sure. There's been a lot of confusion about the law and misunderstanding. People sometimes think it means that, oh, we have to allow our employees to smoke at work and, you know, to take a hit or two and, you know, put up with whatever those side effects are. What we tell employers is that they are free to make their own rules and that they are similar to the rules they would make for smoking and for alcohol. So if you're not allowed to take a drink at work, then you shouldn't be allowed to smoke a joint at work. And so we go from there. We also stress the point that marijuana is a drug. It affects performance.
Right.
And, you know, to direct the employees that they should not be taking marijuana before work or during work or on lunch break, and also cueing employers in to look at behavior.
Right. Are you involved with any litigation or complicated matters involving marijuana right now?
No, I actually do not get involved in many litigations other than as support. If there were an issue, that would be sent on to an employment attorney. And so far, most of my clients have not had major problems. I've had questions of, well, what if somebody comes in, they smell of marijuana? So I go back to cigarettes. Can they come in smelling of cigarettes? Well, yeah, then they can come in smelling of marijuana as long as they're not directly under the influence. It doesn't matter
right.
that they smoke at home.
Or drink at home.
Or
right?
drink at home. Same. Or yeah. So, you know, you just have to look at the performance.
Boy, that's complicated, because if I smell something, there's a good chance that that person probably had some on the way to work or at breakfast, and am I going to know if it's affecting his work, and how is the employer going to, you know, look at this performance if they see the performance starting to drop? I would see that as proof in performance that since the marijuana law became effective, this person's performance has dropped. How much does the employer have a leg to stand on in information, knowing that this performance has dropped and it's not coincidental?
Well, basically, as an employer, you can let an employee go for poor performance. And so one of the things that we try and teach is that you're constantly looking at performance
right.
and monitoring performance. Mm-hmm. And if it's not up to snuff, you give a verbal warning, and then you give a written warning. You have
right.
a whole system.
Right.
And you
system.
back it up. I don't think there's been any cases tested so far, but what I have read is that it is very hard to prove intoxication via marijuana.
Right.
Because there were no blood levels established, and that is because there are so many different varieties of marijuana.
Yeah.
and that they would affect people differently. So right. they cannot do a hard and fast blood level law like they do with alcohol.
So tell us about the HR engineers and what people need to know about you and your company and what is a differentiator for you and your staff.
Sure. We feel we're in a unique position because of our focus. We do not handle payroll. We don't handle HR information systems and those type of things. We look really at the policies and procedures like employee handbooks, job descriptions, performance reviews, management coaching. We try and bring in new habits to the company that will help engage their employees and raise their profits. We like to say we help employers sleep at night.
So. Oh, good. So you're consulting and helping bring in tools and also helping with efficiencies and getting more out of the work that's being done.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, great. What before we let you go, what would be something that would surprise us about HR engineers and the type of service that you could bring to an employer, and they're like, wow, I didn't realize you could offer that service.
Well, one of the things that we do is a voluntary HR records audit.
Oh, okay, that's great.
So that we come in and we make sure that all your files are the way they should be. One of the things that people don't realize is that if they were to get audited by an outside agency, a federal agency or even their insurance company, that they are also seeing everything that's in the file if you just hand them the file.
Right.
And that causes a lot of issues because some of it is protected information. The other thing is that it is rumored out there that if one agency sees a violation that affects another agency, they're friends and they'll call the other guy in. So you want to have your records set up in such a way that if somebody's coming in for an official audit,
right,
they are only getting the information that
they're asking for.
That
right?
They're asking for, and that you've got that information in there correctly.
So. Oh, great, great. So what's the best way to reach you?
Okay, we are on the web at thehrengineers.com, and we can be reached by phone at 508-785-4950.
Great. Well, thank you, Denise Noble.
Okay.
We're excited to have you, and it was very enlightening today with a few of the topics that we talked about. This is David Sober from Radio Entrepreneur. Also from Wicked Local Marketing. We are here high atop the Brewster Park building in downtown Plymouth today. And this is Radio Entrepreneur. We'll be back after these messages.